Hello and welcome to Build Momentum, a show where we explore thought leadership and education. I'm Sarah Williamson, the founder of SWPR Group.
And I'm Katie Lash, the director of the East Central Educational Service Center.
Together, we explore how to leverage key partners, your constituencies, and the media to authentically impact your organizations and the leaders who champion them. We can't wait to get started, so let's dive into today's show. It's so fun to have two powerful female leaders in EdTech on our show today. Welcome, Juliana Finnegan, the VP of Strategy and Learning at Vivi, and Haley Spira Bauer, the Chief Academic Officer at iTutor. Welcome to Build Momentum. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you for having us. We're just going to speak the rest of the podcast at the exact same moment.
I was going to say, having us together is going to be a problem.
I think it sounds like a lot of fun, but you all know each other. I don't know as much about you. So can I start with you, Juliana? Tell us about yourself and who you are, what you do, how you got to where you are.
Okay. So I was a high school chemistry and eighth grade science teacher for 10 years in Title I schools in California, and then worked for Graduate School of Education, where I got to build teacher prep around blended learning. My claim to fame was I got to visit about 60 schools across the country to identify common denominators and build teacher prep around that. Moved to a nonprofit where I worked to scale effective, engaging, equitable education across the country and really thinking through how do we bring ed leaders together to actually find those common threads and support those as a collaborative. And then moved over to Vivi, where I now work with educators and leaders and our global team to ensure we're actually building a product that's not adding noise, but really something that can help build teacher capacity and impact student learning in research-based ways. So I've learned a lot about business in probably the last 8 months, like just terms in general. Haley's laughing because I didn't know what GTM was when I started. And I was like, oh, go to market. Got it. So
I'm glad you defined it in your statement because I didn't know.
Exactly.
Whole new world.
I was like, I'm bringing a lot of educator language and I'm learning a lot of business, but it's also been really exciting to work for a company who's like, how can we really impact and support educators and students. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
That's me. And I live in Seattle. You will not hear the dogs this time. And I have two kids, two dogs, very PNW and an RV, but I grew up in Jersey. Weird.
PNW, Katie is Pacific Northwest, just so you know.
I knew that part. That one's not business lingo.
I don't know. Just helping everyone out.
But yeah, we're covering the whole country right now in this room, in this Zoom room, whatever room we're in, Zencaster room. So yeah, that's awesome. Juliana, I'm looking forward to understanding more about Vivi. But Haley, tell us about you.
Sure. So much like Juliana, I began my career in the classroom. I was a Teach for America core member in the South Bronx at a public school called PS55 under the leadership, who is still the leader there, of Louise Torres. And after my time teaching at PS55, I actually moved to a charter school in the Harlem. And I was a teacher in a middle school and eventually founded an elementary school with a whole bunch of really smart people. Became a school leader there, both on the behavioral side and the academic side, and moved back to the middle school because of need, where I was at that network for about a decade. After I was at that network, I was looking for opportunities to really promote equitable-based practices for education beyond one school. And I found iTutor, and I've been here for 5.5 years. When I joined iTutor, we were an ed tech company without a robust ed, meaning we really had a lot of opportunity to develop our educators, build our pipeline, support schools, really have a profound impact on students' lives. In the past 5.5 years, we've done things like achieved status as a digital learning institute via Cognia, been IDR with Johns Hopkins University and instructional design review. I'm just going to define every single term we say today, but really had just an unbelievable amount of growth with our school partners. And I am most proud of being a part of an organization that allows for this state of education where we are today in this, it's not post-pandemic, whatever we're in right now, allows for the future of education to be built upon how we're serving schools today. So super excited to talk about that with all you today.
So impressive, Haley. I had no idea that you actually founded a school, a middle school. Wow.
Elementary. Yeah. We opened two elementary schools in 4 days. And it was unbelievable with the smartest people. And one of them is actually someone Juliana knows, you may know as well, is the Peloton superstar Jessica Sims. We were both kindergarten teachers next door to one another. And now she's really cool doing all sorts of other kinds of teaching.
Oh my God, I'm fangirling so hard right now. I love my teens. I mean, Haley knows when I travel, that's my jam.
Awesome. Okay. So I'm also so impressed with you. So Haley, clearly your passion is contagious. It's amazing. But you're also impressive. Chief academic officers typically do not spearhead thought leadership for companies. So I'm really wowed by how you've been able to externally share your story. Can you talk about how you've really jump-started that process for iTutor?
Can I just answer with like, I'm a motor mouth? Does that suffice? So, you know, I don't know, Sarah, when we met, I said to you, like, I don't really know what PR is. Like, I know I personally believe deeply in a whole bunch of things. One of them being that our education system is fundamentally broken right now. It was systematically designed to be beneficial for a select group of people, and that has not been redesigned in 200 years. And so what we're facing today is a lot more spotlights on a lot of problems. And I just don't stop talking about it. Like, if you catch me in the supermarket, I'm probably talking about it. If you catch me on my podcast, I'm likely also discussing it. When I'm running my company meetings, like, I'm definitely talking about it there too. So I don't know, unfortunately, that there's design behind why I do this, but I am deeply dedicated to the work of educational liberation. And so I don't know if there's really a way to stop me from talking about it, which may have beneficially resulted in iTutor having a lot of people talk. And not just me, but like a lot of people talking about how our work does that for the space.
Wow. Thank you. I love what you're doing. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job. Even if you don't know what you're doing, you're doing it well.
Very nice. Like, but when I meet folks that are, you know, really intentional and really, you know, I know there's a strategy behind this and I'd love to learn it. I really do love learning. For me, it's just, this is kind of who I am and how I show up. You know, my kids probably sound like parrots of me being like, well, that's not a fair practice. You know, it's like their poor teachers are like, oh, their mom, like what's happening? You know, it's just kind of how I am.
That's awesome. Love it.
So Haley, you kind of went here just now, but tell us more about how you have that internal support with your team. And so how you bring the academic perspective and then you get that message out. Tell us more.
So I think what's important to note about the space that we're in, ed tech in general, and the development of products for schools, is that it has to be inextricably linked to the schools themselves, right? Actually, if it's not, A, it won't be utilized, B, it won't be effective, and hopefully C, it will be discarded. And so it's not really difficult to get the folks that I get to collaborate with, the brilliant folks on our products team and engineering team, to be thinking about what is best for schools, because they are deeply concerned with that question as well. And that is, in my opinion, as I've learned more about product, like Juliana, you mentioned you're now in business. Like, as I get to a space where you have to know about product, you know, in the past couple of years, I understand that is good product design. You have to know your stakeholders. You have to know what they want. You have to be talking to them regularly. And thankfully, that's a priority for our organization. As it relates to the impact element, I mean, our organization is really keen on talking about our values constantly. And impact is one of them. So if we're not talking about impact, we're not living by our values and we have a problem. So again, makes it really easy to talk about with folks. I appreciate that some of our product team right now is comprised of folks that used to serve on my teams in academics. And so that makes it way easier to have a conversation. Folks that have been in education. Juliana, you named that too, right? Like you just said, I am bringing a lot of the education language and they're bringing a lot of the business. Like, you have to have educators in ed tech. Otherwise, It's not going to be products built for students and teachers and administrators. It's just not.
Yeah, they're co-designing the products with you, right? These educators in the classroom.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what we just heard from Christina Ishmael, who's just on our show. Thanks, Juliana, for the intro. But she mentioned that.
No, but she talked about that in New York at Tech Week, too. She gave this like really short spiel that I listened to, and I met her through Juliana's, too, because Juliana is a connector. That's what one of the amazing things about her. But she said that, like someone said, like, what is like one piece of advice you would give? And her response was, you know, talk to schools. And like she gets it. And if she's at the top and she gets it, then we all better get it too.
Right. We were just meeting with All for Ed's president, CEO, Deb DeLisle this morning. And she said, one of the most important practices that she thinks we can do is for lobbying, because they're doing a lot of lobbying and policy creation through their organization. And she said she used to resent lobbyists. And now she understands that's why it's so important to work together with those superintendents and those educators and to weave them into the decisions and policy that they're creating.
And bringing in just like all different parts of the elephant, right? And making sure that we're all like leveraging each other's like expertise and superpowers to really impact that. But like making sure that everyone's voice is heard and that they have the ability to highlight and impact that whole process as well.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Sorry, I jumped.
Get in there. All right. So on that note, one of the reasons, Juliana, that we wanted to chat with you, first of all, I've been seeing and hearing about you for a while, but God. When I met you,
thanks.
Oh yeah. And when I met you, Brett Rohrer said, oh, that one, you must know that one. She cultivates incredible relationships. And so one of the things we do in PR is we're always identifying influencers. We're pairing them up with our clients for panels. We're really trying to collaborate with people who are leading the way and align our clients with those individuals and those people because they're making change and they're making the impact. How have you been able to do that throughout your career? And how are you doing that now for Vivi? Tell us.
It was really funny when I was reading this question because I was like, I don't know. I honestly think building partnerships is about just that. It needs to be like a true partnership and it needs to be built on genuinely wanting to help each other and work together for the greater good. And like, that sounds super cheesy. I totally get that. But like also seeing that we each have roles and we're better together. Like we're better as the collective because we all have different experience, lived experience, expertise, and how can we all work together to push this forward? And it was funny. I just met with somebody before this who one of my friends introduced me to. It was like, hey, I want you to talk to her. She's like looking at different positions and jobs and blah, blah. I was like, great. And I was like, you should talk to Haley. You should talk to this person. Here's a list of different jobs on EdSurge and da, da, da. And then she was like, so I feel really bad. Like, what can I do for you? And I was like, I'm not doing this so that you can do something for me. I was like, I just, you know, you genuinely want to help bring each other up, I think is like kind of the big dorky mantra. But it was funny when you said influencer, like I immediately thought of like Instagram influencers, which like are more like, you know, sitting in silo by themselves. Whereas I think I'm been really blessed to have truly amazing partners who do influence the field, but by bringing strong communities together.
Yes.
And I think exactly. that's the biggest thing is like bringing the people around them. Like education is truly a team sport. Like I totally believe that. And also there has to be like, I joke with Haley with this, where I was like, if she connects with someone through me, I'm like super excited if that friendship like flourishes past me, like, because that's what's mm-hmm. supposed to happen. Right. So how do you build those partnerships in a way that's like also not limited? And like with Vivi, for instance, and sorry, every role I've done, I've built communities. So like at the Learning Accelerator, I did the Innovation Directors Network. We brought together 18 directors of innovation across the country to say, like, you don't have to be on islands. Let's work together. You know, let's identify common practices. And then at Vivi, I started the Vivi Educator Council, which is 12 in Australia and 11 in the US, where we brought together like directors of technology or technology implementation and said, like, what do you need? What's working? What's not working? How can we capture and codify your best practices? So I think this whole idea of like cultivating those relationships is by like just being genuine and saying like, how can we help?
Are you an education leader, the leader of an ed tech company, or a member of an organization supporting education? We continue to hear from leaders like you who have a story to tell, a message to share, or an important initiative that needs greater awareness. 3 years ago, that's exactly what we heard from Doug Roberts, the CEO of the Institute for Education Innovation, when he approached SWPR Group. This led to the launch of a groundbreaking new award that was unlike any other in EdTech. The SUPS Choice Awards, judged exclusively by K-12 superintendents, set IEI on a path to market dominance, increasing vendor partners and superintendent members by more than 30% year over year. Jamie Candy, the CEO of Edmentum, shared with SWPR Group the EdTech company's desire to tell district success stories and to elevate the leaders behind their organization in a more thoughtful and strategic way. Throughout the past 2 years, SWPR Group has established consistent and regular media coverage, authored compelling op-eds, and secured interviews highlighting success stories while also inserting Edmentum into timely topics like AI with national reporters. At SWPR Group, we provide public relations, communication strategies, and thought leadership support for today's changemakers and the brands they champion. We work together with our clients to bring their mission to life by consistently delivering high-quality content, creative communication strategies, and transformational results. What story do you want to tell? Reach out to us using the link in the show notes or visit our website at swpr-group.com. Yeah. Love those words. How can we help? They're not used enough.
Juliana.
Yeah.
Juliana, I'm so excited to meet you because I feel like we're like channeling one another. Like, so this next, I just got back this earlier from the state superintendents like association meeting. And last evening I was with a big group and they said something about that. Like I was owning the table. Well, I didn't own the table like at all, but I was just always like, hey, do you know this person? Cause if you don't know this person, you two need to know each other. And like, here's what this person does at their school. And I'm always doing stuff like that. But my service center, right, I'm limited to a region, maybe some connection in the state. So I'm curious, how do you have that on such a national scale? How do you meet these people? What are you doing through the lens to identify these partnerships? Like who should know who? Who should know who?
It's a great question. So I will say that I think my ability to connect across the country really did start off with this Innovation Directors Network that I did with the Learning Accelerator. To be totally frank, it started as teacher think tanks. We were like, who are the people that need to be connected? And so I really like beer and probably not part of education, but like, so what?
Probably.
Sorry. But basically I did 8 happy hours across the country in different regions. And had them at breweries and invited teachers, principals, Haley, you may not even know this, teachers, principals, heads of IHEs and said like, let's talk about the challenges of San Diego. Let's talk about the challenges of Chicago. Let's talk about the challenges of DC to identify like what is geographic centric and what is like ecosystem, you know, across the board. And then I was able to identify who are the people that are like really living on islands and maybe asking themselves if they're crazy. And it was like the directors of innovation or the directors of personalized learning. And we were like, how can we bring them together to build this community of camaraderie that they can say, I'm trying to build this. Has anyone tried this? Let's not reinvent the wheel. And so we kicked it off with 18 directors of innovation from across the country, which was like DC Public Schools, Dallas, CPS, Highline, all over the board, right? Greeley. And that really helped me to connect with some amazing like ed leaders across the country who have then gone to other places or are still there. And they continually teach me. But I think with that community, and when you're thinking like at scale across a whole country, you have to think about common language too. I think common language is key to have those conversations and really fill those gaps strategically and to build those partnerships and foster that like continued engagement is like, let's make sure we're talking about the same thing. Let's identify what we're talking about and let's connect those dots. And then from there, you're very quickly able to find those common denominators, those common challenges, those common barriers, and also places where maybe you have a barrier, but somebody else has actually done work around that already. How do we share those learnings more broadly? So I think a lot of it is, it starts with how do we bring together the right people that are open and want to truly partner and build those relationships between those people and then speak the same language. And I think that is when we think about capturing, codifying, and scaling best practices, language is, I mean, I can't like highlight Deborah Lunderline more. Like language is key because otherwise someone's like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. It's like, how do you boil it down? You know, so many times you say, let's do station rotation. And someone's like, I don't do that. I do centers. And I'm like, you know, it's the same thing, right? Like, it's
like we're all on the same page. Yeah.
But like, you know, and then you say personalized and you're like, well, oh, like I always say, don't talk about big P, talk about little P. Personalizing education through differentiation and scaffolding. It doesn't have to be like, quote unquote, personalized learning because that language can change the conversation. So kind of went off on the side, but I think that's where like you bring people together and that community is still so tight. We have virtual happy hours. We text each other when we're like hitting a challenge. I was like, I need help with this. Dwayne McCleary, his sticker is on my laptop that says, just do right by students. Kristen Watkins in Dallas is still rocking it and rolling it. So Rebecca Kim was on my podcast. So it's like a lot of them are just still friends as well.
Awesome. It sounds like the common denominator is providing value and coming from the place of how can we help and how can we serve instead of who do we want to align with and how can we leverage their influence? I mean, like really being a good thought partner and supporting them first.
Yeah. And I think that everyone wants to help. I mean, you're in education because you want to impact education. You want to change the way we're doing it. You want to help students and you want to help teachers, right? Like that's why we got into this. And so I think it's like always finding that common ground and then you will have like a cheerleader for life when you like build those kind of just like you know, real partnerships. And then you're able to move things because like the needle's hard to move. There's a lot of places people are learning. So how do we get to all of them?
That needle's busy.
I mean, it's working overtime right now. So yeah.
Something that I think of, Sarah, you bring up a good point that like it's that genuine, not trying to align for a purpose. But what I noticed sometimes is folks won't talk about the cool things they're doing. So sometimes they need a third party person to be like, no, what you're doing is so cool. And you need to tell people about this. And people are like modest. And I'm so sometimes it's like, you two need to align. They didn't even know that they wanted to align. We had to tell them they had to.
Oh, that is my favorite part, I will tell you, because when I was at the Learning Accelerator, I got to work with all of these leaders to capture and codify their best practices, right? And so I'd say, tell me what you're doing. And like Erica Baker from Chicago Public Schools one time was just like telling me all of this stuff. And she was like, and then this. And I'm like, do you realize how incredible that is? Tell me more about your coaching stuff you're doing and tell me about this. And then I'm like, can you actually give me some resources? I'm going to build it and share it on the TLA website so that other people can start from there and use you. And she's like, and, you know, just hearing people say like, yeah, okay, that's really cool. And she's going to be so embarrassed that I said her name. But there's, I think, so many people doing, like you said, amazing things in education, but they're not able to pick up their head and say like, give myself a pat on the back. And what I'm doing is just is innovative and is changing like the way we're looking at education. And so
can I name something? And I've talked about this like on my podcast before, but let's like contextualize why that's probably happening in education. We are primarily talking about women, and women especially are not conditioned to celebrate, to brag, to announce their successes, their wins, their triumphs, even if it's at the benefit of deserving students, right? Deserving, like rising tides lift all ships. Juliana, you named like, we're all in this for the impact. Agreed. So yes, they're overwhelmed. The folks are overwhelmed. They don't lift their heads up. Agreed. And I think there's some sort of gender, as we sit as four women on this call right now, I think there's some sort of gender element to this that education is very stuck in due to so much leadership being, well, actually top leadership superintendents, not as many women, but below that level, we got a lot of ladies and so, or female identifying people. And so I want to just name that and call it out because I don't think it's an accident or happenstance.
Wow. Mic drop.
Sarah, we haven't talked about it on the podcast, but we have said that a lot, haven't we, Sarah?
Heck yeah. So anytime we're chatting about something, Katie will say, well, do you think I should do this? I always say, would a man ask me this question? No, he would not. So it's something we think about a lot. Just in our everyday work, just coming from a different lens, being proud of our work, sharing. Yes, let's try to, how can we do that? How can we support women?
Totally. Uplift them.
Yeah.
And I mean, suffice to say, important to name people of color as well, yes. Right? Like another historically marginalized, exactly. Systemically oppressed population, exceedingly important. So
exactly.
It's not just women, but other marginalized communities too.
Thank you, Haley. Okay.
I mean, are you sad? Are you like, now you're really getting, this is why I just motor mouth, right?
No.
I love it.
Oh yeah. We don't script these. We always say, it's just a general question. They're not scripted, but yes, Haley, thank you. All right. So now I want to talk about you, Haley, and your podcast and all the interesting topics you get into. So you've done this for a while. You both have podcasts. That's one of the reasons we wanted to invite you on the show because you're both killing it. Haley, you've been at it for a while though, and you're consistent and you have incredible content. So tell me how you got started, how you stay. One of the hardest parts is staying consistent. So share more.
It is my favorite part of my job. So it's like not hard to stay consistent. I get to talk to brilliant people. I get to learn from incredible folks. And especially I get to illuminate and uplift the work that they're doing in a field that I'm obviously quite passionate about. And so I think it's really easy for me to stay consistent because of that. The second thing I'll name is that in doing this work, I am hoping that folks are like having a water cooler moment with what's being built, what's progressing, what's innovative in education. I'm obsessed with Guy Raz's How I Built This. And anyone who asks me about, well, what do you want your podcast to be? I'm kind of like, I want to how I built this for education because of what we're talking about, because of this idea that rising tides lift all ships, students deserve better than things kept in secrets in the corner. And if we know something works, if we know it has impact for children, and I will say ancillary, but not secondary too, is impactful for teachers, right? The people that are at the center of all this and who matter the most, then we should be sharing it widely. And so I hope the podcast does that, and it makes it really easy because every week I get to meet new folks, and I get to meet them through folks like Juliana. She's introduced me to, I don't even know how many guests now, and other folks like Brett Roer, who we mentioned on the call earlier. He introduced me to David Adams, who was just on a really awesome episode, and the list goes on. But I just feel like I look forward to it, and that helps me with being consistent. Plus, I work with some really incredible people, which I've named a few times, that help make it possible. So there are some awesome folks that are helping to get it off the ground each week, making sure that I hold myself accountable to the launch dates that I say I will, and make it all happen.
Okay, what is your podcast? You didn't tell us your name and where people can find it.
Can you tell that I'm not in PR, right? This is what the theme here. It's called the Learning Can't Wait podcast. You can find it on iTutor's website at itutor.com if you scroll to the bottom, or you can go to Apple, Spotify, anywhere you listen to podcasts, Podbean, and find Learning Can't Wait.
Love it.
Wait, can I say one thing? Talk about another connector, Brett Roer. We've said his name a couple of times, but did you know that Brett knows Kesha? Brett knows Kesha. Anyway.
I did not, but I know you just had him on recently, like, or you're working with him, right? Like, again, another connector that Juliana met. What, you like sat at a table at ASU-GSB, right?
He sat at my table because I found a table in the sun at ASU-GSB. And I was like, I just need a tan because I lived in San Diego for 10 years and now I'm in Seattle and I just need vitamin D when I can get it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, is it okay if I sit with you? And I was like, sure. Who are you? And the rest is history.
The rest is history. Oh my goodness. Yeah, the two, Brett and Juliana together could conquer the world. That's for sure.
For sure.
But he does know Kesha. Yeah. We were very impressed.
I don't know Kesha. I feel like now I want to. I would like to.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Kesha. Katie. Yeah, like knows Kesha might be a stretch. Like has talked to Kesha. Maybe. I don't know. But still, that counts. That counts in my book.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So thank you, Haley. Love your podcast. Juliana, you just launched Education Pineapple podcast. How's it going? You just launched it, kicked it off.
I did. So first off, I have to say a big thank you to Haley. I mean, I just feel like this is very, you know, incestuous conversation, which is totally fine. I was basically like, so Haley, I'm going to start doing a podcast for Vivi. Help. And so she really helped me to be like, okay, here's how you organize it. Here, like, this was not something. I can be very extroverted in person, but it takes a lot of work for me. And so like the podcast, I was like, oh, the first one, I think I like sweat the whole episode. Like my heart was pounding the whole thing. I've gotten better, y'all. You know, now I'm calmer, but it's going really well. And it's the Educator Pineapple podcast because that's a big PD thing I used to do is like everyone has a crown and everyone's ripening something. And it builds that culture of vulnerability that like even people with like huge crowns are always ripening something and sometimes the thing you're ripening turns into your crown. And how do those two pieces influence your work? And so everyone who joins the podcast has started in the classroom. So actually some of like the people you'd be surprised, like where they started, what they taught, how they taught. And so just really talking about how did you start there? And then where did you go from there? So I've had, you know, quite a few people join on. Just most recently had Marlon Stiles and Key Edwards share about the Admiral Squad in Middletown. They are building a pipeline of Black male educators. So really focused on the 2%, which is really cool. They just came on. And then I had Jean-Claude Brizard, who's a great friend, who I was like, you're going to be my first one. Here goes nothing. But actually talking about when he started in the classroom in New York City. And so getting to talk with Christina, I just edited hers, Christina Ishmael. Like, I feel bad if I don't mention anybody. Like Rebecca Kim's on there. She just did her dissertation on strength-based data literacy. So thinking through how do we give a better data profile of our students. And I think that, so all of the different topics and Saba, could we, like Liz Arney, all the topics are around what are some areas of work they're doing, but then also you can come back to the website, come back to the Vivi site and see resources on how to put it into action. So my whole goal is against not reinventing the wheel, but saying, okay, we're talking about strength-based data literacy with Rebecca. You know, I have a link to a slide deck on how she presented to her district on the street data. So really trying to connect those dots to say, okay, not only am I inspired, but how can I put that into action within my own context, within my own community, and within my own schools. And so really trying to make sure we are, again, like you said before, Katie, like how do we scale these nationally? And how do we give these folks who are doing such amazing work in education a platform to share it with like a different audience to really help to give equitable access to everyone. So that's kind of my goal with the Educator Pineapple Podcast. It is set up like a teacher lesson plan. Just, I think Haley was joking and I was like, we first start with this section, then we go to this section, then we have, it's, you know, I was a teacher, I was a chemistry teacher. So, but it's been going well. It's been fun.
Awesome. So one person you might think about having on is Deb Delisle.
Okay.
She's amazing. She'd be an amazing guest. So
send her my way.
I will. And congrats to both of you on your podcast success. Love it.
Thank you.
I don't know if I'm success yet.
I think you are.
But that's like, but absolutely. Yeah. And man.
That leads into my next question.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, that is
such a good segue. You know, it's so easy for people to say, why are you doing this? How do we measure this podcast? How do we measure PR? How do we measure thought leadership? I got an op-ed in this trade publication. Sarah, what does that get me? People, a lot of our clients will ask us these questions. And it's interesting because in PR, in this work we're doing, in thought leadership, in developing this like higher level awareness for companies and for leaders of education organizations, it can be difficult to say, oh, that equates to 2.4 leads, or that equates to, it's not a perfect science. That's my opinion. I'm very biased, clearly, but I would love to hear your thoughts to see if you've had any thoughts in this way in the work you're doing.
So like, can you measure it by the connections you make? Can you measure it by the fact that Julia and I are on this podcast? Can you measure it by the fact that people are adopting? You can't always measure that. Some of it is intangible, which I know not, you know, business leaders don't love to hear that. It's an investment in resources and people's time, which are resources, of course. This, I really struggle with the answer to this. Like, I really struggle. I know thought leadership is a somewhat nebulous term. I actually like spent a week Googling it about 2 months ago, being like, what do I do? How do I say it? How do I share? For me, like, I'm not doing it for that. And like storytelling really good ideas, which podcasting is storytelling really good ideas and giving airtime to intelligence and impact driven focused things. Like, that feels like enough to me, but I know I'm not the be all end all on this.
Yeah. And I think we actually talked about this, Haley, one time of like, how do you measure it and how do you measure the impact? And I think that what it has really helped with Vivi is we've been able to like listen to the podcast, step back and see some of the work that's currently happening and how we can be a player in pushing that work forward with our instructional tools. So I think that like, that was kind of like a nice additional piece of just like, because we're talking with these incredible leaders and hearing about the work they're doing, we're like, okay, we're also uncovering some of the challenges that education is facing as well and along the way. So we're like, okay, how can we help to fill that gap? Or how can we make sure that when we're doing this, that we're thinking about this piece? And so I think that like, it's been really cool because I get to work with our product team and our engineering team and our sales team and our marketing and the CSM. So really trying to say like, oh, I just talked about this in the podcast. And it's also, I think, you see common threads from conversations too, which also impact how you look at what you're doing and you look at your product. Because I think that that's like, it's not measurable, right? But I do think that like being able to have different vantage points and being able to see those needs from multiple vantage points is in and of itself a huge value add because you're able to step away from like the weeds. And so I think that's been really helpful.
This is so interesting because my question for you guys to wrap us up is about takeaway, but you guys just gave me a takeaway about like the idea, isn't it an investment in people, like an investment in whoever's engaging in this thought leadership, right? And then it's up to those who go up and engage in this work and this practice to go do something with that, that then maybe will be measurable. But like, keep that as what you take, like after this conversation, I'm going to learn things from you and I'm going to do a project. And then that project is measurable, but not this interaction right now, right?
It's a part of those dominoes, right? It's like yeah. We're each hitting and some dominoes you may find out were hit so long from your conversation, but you have no idea. It was really interesting. Actually, Rebecca Kim, who was on my show, sent me a screenshot of the text message she got after somebody who used to work with her listened to her episode. And it was just such a heartfelt, like, this really helped X. And it was so good to hear about this. And like, if she hadn't texted me, I wouldn't have known that. You right? Like, I was like, oh, someone listened. I was just excited somebody listened.
So true.
My joke is that my mom downloads every episode, right? So like, I always get at least one.
I was like, I realized when I shared Educator Pineapple Podcast can be found on all of those places as well. I will get killed if I don't actually say it, or on the Vivi website. You can find it too. But yeah, I think that's where you don't realize those pieces.
Yeah.
And I think like selfishly, I am better for every single conversation I have. Literally, like I feel more informed. I can go do more research. And not that I'm the be all end all, definitely shouldn't measure it based on my brain. But like, I literally feel enriched by every conversation I have. I remember back in college, this is like, I don't know if I should share the story, but you know, we were recruiting for my sorority and I remember it was getting a little bit like kind of ugly and I'm not going to name what sorority or whatever, because y'all can Google that if you want. But I, this woman that I still to this day am close with, who turned out to be my big whatever, said, everybody stop. She quieted the room. Everybody stop. Every person you meet in your life has something that brings value to your world. And it is your job to, or to the world, excuse me, not your world, the world. It is your job to find out what that is. And that one statement, now mind you, this woman runs like foundational giving for a very large corporation. Now she is incredible and continues to change the world through her actions and her words. But like that has changed. Like I think about every single person has something to bring value to the world. And podcasting is a way to let them shine that into the world. I just,
I think that's our wrap up, Katie.
I love that. I think that we can't do better now. So we have to.
That's when you just drop the mic and you're like, so yeah. Good talking to you guys.
Wow. You ladies, this is amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. This was so much fun.
Thank you so much for having us. This was great. I mean, what a way to end the week.
Totally.
I know. Getting to be on a call with all these brilliant, powerful women and talk about things that I think Julia and I speak for both of us when I say that we love to do and that helps us and it just really feels great. So thank you for having me and for us being together. It was really fun.
More soon from us. We're going to get together again. I know it. Thank you all.
If you're looking for more of this thought leadership goodness for your organization, you're in the right place. Visit us at swpr-group.com to learn more about how we work with education organizations and their leaders, superintendents, and influencers to increase your impact. Again, that's swpr-group.com. Thanks for tuning in today, and we will see you next time on Build Momentum.